This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. Today we're going to be talking to Jonathan Gilliland, who is senior pastor at Oak Grove Baptist Church in Cushing, Oklahoma. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, Brian. How's it going?
It's going well. Well, we wanted to have you on the podcast. I saw a neat testimony you shared just the other day on Twitter. You had the privilege of baptizing a couple individuals. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, for sure. So about 6 or 7 months ago, we had this family in our church, and they've been coming for a little while. And the wife actually grew up in the church, but her husband had never been or anything like that. So they started coming and got plugged in. Well, then time goes on, and his mom ended up getting diagnosed with cancer, and it was terminal. Like, they basically said, hey, she's got 6 months to live.
Wow.
4 to 6 months to live. And so it looked really not a good situation, so we just began praying. Like, I know our small group class began praying and everything like that. And so, but one day, you know, it just, over time, just I get a text saying, hey, they both are ready to receive the Lord. And so I traveled over to their house and just sat down in their living room, talked to John and his mom, Sheila, about that, and just kind of walked them through the gospel. And they both were ready, this son, this mom, ready to receive the Lord. And of course, obviously, the diagnosis just opened up their eyes to say, man, what is life really about? You know, what is life after this life? And so they obviously saw their need for Jesus, surrendered their lives to Jesus. Well, then, like, trying to figure out when to do the baptism was tough because of just her situation. She was trying to not get out in large groups. And so we started working, trying to figure out some options. Well, then COVID hit and it changed everything again. And so, but we were able to try to finally work it out. And the cool thing about when we were able to get it worked out is right after she got another diagnosis that she's cancer-free.
Wow.
So just like an incredible miracle work of God, cancer-free, you know. I mean, you think about it, just a few months ago before all this, doctors telling you that, and now she's cancer-free, she knows the Lord. And when we did their baptisms, we did it on a Sunday afternoon, you know, we just recorded and everything and just invited their family, and there's a couple other people in the church there, but it was an incredible afternoon and just an awesome time there, just to see that. So really, really cool thing.
What a powerful story, what he did in her life, and then on top of that, a healing. You know, it's so challenging with what churches are dealing with COVID-19, but we've seen time and again God's still moving, but really there's no getting around some of these COVID realities for churches and pastors and trying to find these glimmers of hope and good things. You wrote a powerful blog, Jonathan, that really spoke to me, called The Great Depression, and you talked about that COVID reality. Could we take a minute and talk about what God was putting on your heart there and what you were trying to communicate?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of what was driving that is just what I've seen in the church and what I've seen in the culture, and not just our culture, but just even around the world, because, I mean, the reality is I just see it as the Great Depression of the 21st century. And the reason I kind of started thinking about was when I was talking to my wife, Stephanie, after a Sunday morning service, and it was one of our first services back in person. We've been doing some outdoor stuff, but as far as just being back in the building, we were just talking about, like, there's still that depression there because of the seclusion and isolation that people have been driven into during the season. But then even getting out, you're still having to wear masks. You're still having to social distance. And so there is, like, this, man, we can't embrace one another. We can't have that community like we once did. Or we still have it, but it looks really different.
Mm-hmm.
And so just her talking about the depressing aspect of it, I was like, yeah, I mean, this is the Great Depression, because it's impacted us with financial strife. There's the social unrest of it. And it just seems to be like this complete breakdown adjust relations when it comes to national and international relations. But there's this uncertainty and like the fear. And that's like what I posted in the blog was like the I don't know statement. I mean, that's just like the flagship statement. I feel like during this season, I know with our staff trying to navigate things, you hear it on TV, like, I don't know. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what's going to happen. But that's true of every industry, I feel like, you know, sports, education, politics, it's just this I don't know. And there's a lot of uncertainty and fear with that. And I think people, they're just depressed, whether they want to admit it or not. I mean, people, they feel depressed. And even when you gather with the church, it's like, I mean, the church, you know, we have the hope in Christ. Like, we know what we have to look forward to, but it's really hard trying to do ministry right now and trying to gather with the church because, you know, half your church feels like we should be, you know, in bubbles and we shouldn't be getting out. And then the other half is like complete opposite, you know, and then you got your in-betweeners. And it's trying to navigate that, but just like you can't fully just embrace and have that fellowship and, you know, hug and shake hands and all the things we took for granted. And so it's really, really difficult, and there's all that uncertainty and that depression we feel with that because we're having to learn new ways of communicating. So we had our third child was born in April. So she's a COVID baby. And,
oh, wow.
And we are all having to wear masks. Like, so she was born in Tulsa. And so when I went into the hospital, they're like, hey, you can't leave. Or else if you leave, you can't come back. And so, and we had to wear a mask as well. And as we're trying to communicate to nurses and doctors, everybody's wearing masks. And it was kind of new still then. And it's just like having to communicate with your eyes almost, like having to look at somebody's eyes and say, okay, what are they? Are they smiling behind that mask? Are they, you know, are they frowning? Like, and so it's just like what we're having to learn. It's just even a new way of communicating. And we just so desperately want to connect, though. We want to reunite, to embrace. But we don't know how long, like, and that goes back to that. I don't know. Like, I don't know how long this is going to last. And with that, I don't know. It's just in that sense.
Yeah.
And so I think there's people in the church feeling that. I know there's people in the community. I know there's people around the world just feeling that depression that, and this could last. I don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of a big thing that was driving the blog post.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on the little one. First of all, that's awesome news. So something you said made me think back to a C.S. Lewis writing. I think it was called Learning in Wartime, where during World War II, some people were critical of, you know, we're in a season of war. Why are we doing these academic things and writing things? Yeah. And Lewis talked about the reality is the world is always in strife and dying in at war, and sometimes it just is so subtle we don't notice it. And I do think the COVID has presented some new realities that accentuate our struggle. Are there some books or words of encouragement that have kept you going as a pastor, or a fresh word that God has put on your heart as you've just during this difficult, choppy time, this I don't know time, to use your phrase, that have blessed you that you could share?
Yeah, there's a book I come back to. It's one of my early favorites. I remember like in college reading it by Philip Yancey. It's called Where Is God When It Hurts? And it's a really good book. And he looked at it from the aspect of like pain in the body and how pain can be a blessing in that sense. And I just kind of come back to that because if there's pain, people are feeling pain. And there's some people I haven't seen in our church. I know they've been connected, you know, online and everything like that, but we just haven't seen in months. So there's pain with that, but then there's people who've lost jobs. There's people who we know who've lost loved ones, even to COVID or just other things, to other reasons during this season. So there's that suffering aspect going on, that pain. But I think it's important to know, like, God is still at work in all these things, and he can take pain and produce a blessing out of it. I mean, obviously, the great example is the cross, right? I mean, Jesus suffering and dying at the hands of Rome, this great injustice, but what does God do? He brings victory to humanity through this, for sin and death, for anybody who just repents and believe in him. And And so the resurrection was to come. And so it's, you know, I think it's important to consider the end of the story. And it's kind of like Psalm 73, you know, the psalmist is struggling with wickedness and why does the wicked rise to power? Why does it seem like the wicked are basically successful in everything they do and they seem like they're unstoppable? But then he hits a point in the psalm where he says, okay, but then I couldn't understand the why, but then I went into his sanctuary and he just like approached the Lord and the Lord reminded him of the destiny of the wicked, like the end of the story. And so like the current state of things, that you know, the strife that you're talking about, like, you know, you think about C.S. Lewis and World War II and all those type of stuff and now COVID and the strife and the unrest and the brokenness, like this is eventually like the Lord will come and he will, you know, will share in that resurrection, live a new creation, happily ever after, so to speak. And the reality of what we're living now, if it's remembered, will probably be like a distant dream. And so I think that's just really important for us to remember that even in this moment, to focus our eyes on Jesus and the end of the story, so to speak, and to consider that.
Amen. Good word. Well, hey, you're pastoring here in Oklahoma. You're an Oklahoma Baptist. I thought we could share with people your testimony and your calling and how you got to serve where you are and just a little bit about that, Jonathan.
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up in Ponca City, born and raised there. And I know you guys, Amy Cordova up there, you guys know Amy.
Oh, yeah.
Our parents knew each other before we were born, and so that's where she was born and raised. And so we go way back. But then Hans, too, he was at First Baptist Ponca, which is my home church.
Yes.
And so he was there for a while and got to know them really well. But anyway, so that's where I grew up and gave my life to Jesus at an early age. I was actually at a Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames play or drama that was there touring at that time. But got baptized there, First Baptist, and then, you know, was just discipled by the church, my family, and ended up going off to college at UCO and got plugged into Quail Springs for a few years. And, of course, in high school, I felt called to the ministry and made that public at Falls Creek. And then in college, just kind of, you know, the college years just kind of struggled and trying to figure out and navigate that calling and, okay, what does the Lord want me to do and all that. But I ended up deciding, okay, seminary is probably the best option for me. So I had my eyes set on moving to Louisville, Kentucky to go to Southern, had been accepted largely just because I wanted to get away from Oklahoma. I'd never lived anywhere else. And but then I ended up meeting Stephanie my next to last semester at UCO. And Stephanie grew up in Tulsa and everything. And so we met at UCO, and that changed everything. And so ended up going to Southwestern in Fort Worth and was there, and then got plugged into being a youth pastor down there at First Baptist Slidell. We ended up getting married. She finished up at UCO. We got married, and then we moved back to Oklahoma and started going to Quail again. And Hans let me kind of follow him for a couple months until I found a full-time ministry position at First Baptist Medford as the senior pastor up there in northern Oklahoma, and then was there for a few years. And then God called us here to Cushing a little over 4 years ago. And that's it in a nutshell, I guess. So.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Brother Hans, or Dr. Dilbeck, as some people also know him, Brother Hans, just such an encourager. And a big thing that God's put on his heart is encouraging pastors. And what, as you are in the role of pastors, what are some unique challenges and some unique blessings that come with that calling and that vocation that you've experienced, Jonathan?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest challenge has been COVID. I mean, that's just...
Yes.
I mean, you have challenges and stuff, but once COVID hit, it's almost a new level of challenges. And again, it kind of goes back to what we're talking about. Like, there's... Everybody's on different sides of this thing. And you've been telling me there's, like, there's eight... It seems like there's eight sides to COVID itself, but then it seems like there's 20 sides to how do we respond to COVID. So trying to navigate that and still do ministry and still carry out the Great Commission and still to disciple and have fellowship and community and to be the light in the darkness is a whole new challenge. And I think God is just changing that. And so that, this has been definitely the most challenging season, the difficult season, just trying to figure this out. Because I know, like, God has wrecked my heart in this, and I'm praying He's wrecked other pastors' hearts, because I felt like, for me, I was like, you know, Simon the Sorcerer, right, in Acts, right, where he follows the Lord, but then he gets a glimpse of a movement of the Spirit, and he's like, man, how can I buy that? And I feel like we fall into that trap where we think, man, I can buy a movement of God if I just do this with the building, or if I just do this with, you know, our cleverness. And it's like, no, it's just the gospel. It's just Christ crucified and Him resurrected. Like, and the same thing with, like, online, like we can't, I mean, it's just, it's humbled us, and it's reminded us, man, it's all about the Lord's, and, you know, it's all about His Spirit, and He brings in the fruits, and He, you know, does all that. And so we're just to present the gospel, but now it's trying to figure out new ways to present the gospel, and still try to maintain unity at all costs. So that's been the biggest challenge, but it's been a blessing, because I've seen people, like, step up and people be strengthened during this season, and to see, you know, like the Sheila Tiptons of the world, to see God at work in these individual lives, in these families' lives, even in the midst of all of this turmoil.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you're a Southern Baptist, you're Southern Baptist pastor, Oklahoma Baptist. You're part of the work both here in Oklahoma and around the world. Yeah. And you know, as a young person, as a young man, you could go any which way with any denomination or you know, that kind of thing. What about Southern Baptist work makes you want to be a Southern Baptist, or is something you're thankful to be part of, that greater picture of what God allows us to be part of?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we have going for us is the unity in missions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any other organization or denomination or church that has it as figured out as the SBC. That's the biggest thing. That's the coolest thing to see. And of course, in Oklahoma, I just seen the unity of, you know, just these pastors and these churches is really cool to see. And what I love about this season right now, you know, one of the silver linings out of it is reminding the SBC, okay, what is life about? What is our goal about? And it's about loving the Lord and loving others and making the gospel known to all people. And so he's stripped us down to just that. But it's, you know, I've grown up in the SBC. I mean, they've raised me, so to speak, it's been good to see it with the missions and just the unity in that.
That's great. Well, hey, Jonathan, how can people check out your blog writings? I think you're an excellent writer. Could you give us that address?
Yeah, it's just my name, jonathangitteland.com.
Awesome. We've got some really timely, it looks like at least one a week or a regular interval, so I'd encourage anyone to check that out. And last question, how can we pray for you and your church and your family?
Yeah, as far as family goes, we now have three, five and younger, so pray for that. And one is, you know, again, a COVID baby, so be praying for sleep at night, and then just again navigating this season. We're looking at fall stuff and you know, children's and different things that we're going to be doing. So just for wisdom, discernment on what is the best course of action, and that still brings glory to the Lord, and that we still have unity in that. And then just personally, just that God would use this season to continue to renew my heart for Him and for what it's ultimately about.
Amen. Great. Well, we've been talking to Jonathan Gilliland, who is senior pastor at Oak Grove Baptist Church in Cushing. Thank you for coming on the podcast today, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brian. I really enjoyed it. Appreciate it.
Have a blessed one. Again, go to baptistmessenger.com for more podcasts. And Jonathan, thanks again for your ministry. Blessings.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.